Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I put this all in one doc, so it's 29 million pages long.
I split them between the first two and the second two.
I used to do that, but then I was like, then I can't find anything.
Yeah, I wanted to feel like the hard break. I didn't want it to be like, oh, then we're like, for me, it was more helpful to be like, oh, this is...
Welcome to the behind the scenes. Welcome to the sauce, fam.
Oh, is that real? I was slouching.
Think so. Yeah. It's okay. Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
I'm wearing my Sass Squatch shirt today.
Cute.
It's a Sasquatch in heels. My friend Ashley gave it to me.
I love it.
Isn't it cute?
I'm wearing my Warrior shirt.
Oh, yes. All right, girl. We're all for the fashion these days.
I guess, sure.
Fam, speaking of fashion, join the Facebook group.
Yeah, I could do that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group. There's like 55,000 people in there. We're hanging out. We're having a good time. We're making new friends. It's where we go for AMA questions. You know, that's the thing. Also, the Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon. We do drag bingo every month. At the $5 level, there are ad-free versions of these episodes. Then we do, like, the series.
What are we doing? What are the series we've covered recently that they should know about?
Amy Bradley is Missing.
Oh, my God.
Mr. and Mrs. Murder, we're going to do after that, which
Who are they?
It's crazy.
Is it really?
It's crazy.
Okay, great.
It's crazy.
I think there are other ones that people really wanted that we did recently.
We did so many. Hey, Beautiful, The Romance Scam.
That was wild.
Scamanda.
If you like gay men with hairy shoulders, you're going to love that episode.
We got a lot going on.
Yeah, we do. It's patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed, or just go to the link in our show notes. Fam, we're doing that thing today where we are taking a thing and splitting it in half, and you're getting the first part of it as the regular episode this week. It's going to be available ad-free at the $5 level on Patreon right now. So you can go listen to part two of our coverage of Looking in My Eyes, or you can wait until next week, and it'll be part two will be our regular episode next week.
Yeah, so this is 4 episodes, so this TCO episode will be the first and second episode, and then,
Do you ever feel crazy when trying to explain it? Like, it's 4 episodes, but we're doing it in 2, but we're also splitting it in half.
But we're also doing this, and then it's available, but it's not always available.
It's not.
But it is available.
But
if you want it to be.
If you can be.
Choices.
3 students died within 3 months of each other. There would be none of this if there wasn't the deaths. His intentions were always good.
Dr. Kenny told me there's this thing called hypnosis. It has the potential to help me with tests.
A lot of our kids needed extra help. Is that the way to help them?
This should have never happened.
He has ruined my life.
This man just wanted to help.
All right, should we jump in?
Yeah. Well, or don't, because the first thing I have is a screenshot.
Oh.
Look Into My Eyes, episode 1, absorb attention. But it's a screenshot of a sign that just says, danger, alligator and snake habitat, no swimming or wading, avoid water's edge. And I'm like, are we in Florida?
Goodbye.
The answer is yes,
it's
we are.
It's so funny because they talk about the town of Northport, but I was like, Northport where? I had to Google what state this took place in.
Yeah.
Because I didn't catch the snake alligator sign. Also, Florida, I got to tell you, I just had an absolutely fucking magical experience in Orlando.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something?
Get it? Like the Magic Kingdom.
But that's where I was.
Yeah.
So I guess pun intended.
Yeah.
But Florida, Orlando, I wasn't ready for your amazing weather in terms of like at nighttime, they get these like flash storms. Ooh. Where like the lightning is gorgeous. It downpours. Aww. For 15 minutes. It cools everything off and then life goes back to normal. Who knew?
What about the humidity?
It's pretty humid, but I'm into that these days.
You love it.
I do. I will say the monorail at Disney World when we were there got struck by lightning.
Oh my God.
Shut it down. Disney World in the rain is like not a thing. I learned like when it rains and it lightnings, everything gets turned off.
Smart.
Yeah. We were annoyed, but upon retrospect, I think you're right. That probably is smart.
If it's only for 15 minutes, everyone like get a grip for 15 minutes and then we'll get back to it.
Those lines are too long. Like 2 hours for Space Mountain, goddamn.
But what I've heard though now is that if you get, what is it?
The lightning lanes.
Right. But now they have lines.
Yeah, but it was like the longest we waited was like 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty magical.
Okay.
I called it the happiest place on earth and was swiftly corrected. Disney World is the most magical place on earth. Disneyland is the happiest place on earth.
Okay, now we're just getting it.
I knew that wouldn't be
fun.
Can
you just like...
I know.
We're having fun here.
Yeah. That's a better slogan.
Just go have fun.
Disney World. Yeah. Just go have fun.
Go have fun.
I agree.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about my verbiage.
Totally.
My wording.
One controversial take. Tron was a little bit disappointing. We can move on.
Okay. Let's.
Okay.
Okay.
We have a lot to get through
today.
We're
in Northport, Florida. It's very small. Everyone knows everybody and everything. The big joke we are told about 1,000 times.
It's very, like, country, I would say. A lot of people that go four-wheeling on the weekends. There's not much to do, so you have to kind of entertain yourself.
The joke around everywhere in these parts, graduated from Northport High, it must be the dumbest of the dumb. Or a criminal.
If you went there, you're either an idiot or a criminal.
Yeah.
We hear this 15 times. Their words, not mine.
That's a kind of a hot take about your own high school. Like, I always think my high school wasn't amazing, but it was, like, fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, we will learn eventually that this is, like, a new high school, too.
Yes.
And they were kind of always struggling, which I think is really shitty to not, like, can you give a shit about the kids who, it's the one school in town. And
2,000 kids in the school.
Yeah.
2,000.
We meet a bunch of them. Ashley, Derek, Steven, a.k.a. Steve, a.k.a. Leprechaun, a.k.a. Steve-O, a.k.a. Douchebag,
a.k.a. Red.
Asshole. And I'm like, sweetheart, asshole isn't a nickname. It's because you're an asshole.
I know. But this poor kid, he's been to hell and back, this guy.
Yeah.
But like, look, I'm sure if you've watched this documentary, you have a lot of thoughts. We also talked for 15 minutes before we even started about our thoughts. We got a lot of thoughts about these kids. We got a lot of thoughts about this guy. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, Ariana, she was like a goth scene kid who's now a Swiftie. The emo kid to Swiftie pipeline is definitely a thing. Hi, Tom. Swimos unite.
Is Swimos a thing?
Oh, yeah. Major. Oh. Major.
Do you think, was Taylor an emo kid?
She had to be. Well, she said that Pete Wentz is her favorite lyricist. So she's, and the Hayley Williams and Paramore. And I know that I'm using emo. I understand. I know that goth and scene and emo are all very different things. Just, it's Swimos, you know.
I do not. I need to have it all explained to me.
Travel down the road, back again.
Girl, Goodles is back. We are a Goodles household. Tell them what this is.
Okay. If you haven't heard of Goodles, which get on the Goodles train, this is like the mac and cheese we know and love from our childhood, but it's packed with protein and nutrients. Finally.
Wait, so every serving of Goodles mac and cheese has 14 grams of protein, 7 grams of fiber, with prebiotics and 21 vitamins and minerals from real plant sources. Can I just tell you, Daisy has mac and cheese every Monday night. It's like a standing thing.
Okay.
She's used to that one brand we all, like everyone used to eat growing
up. I don't know her.
Let me tell you, we will now let her eat the full box of Goodles because of all the protein and prebiotics and all the good stuff packed in there.
Let me tell you, they also have single serve cups.
Yes.
Which is so great. I usually get, like, I forget that I'm hungry around lunchtime.
Yeah,
and then
I'm like,
oh, I need something now.
And you can make it so fast.
So fast. It's so good. I have to say, like, it's creamy. It comes with a spork. It's like this iridescent purple blue spork. I love it so much.
And on top of all of that, fam, it's kosher and clean label purity award certified. Like, come on. It's got everything.
Yeah, and there's something for everyone with their amazing variety of flavors, plus vegan and gluten-free options. Oh. You can find it. I love Goodles.
The gluten-free Goodles is good. I eat it at least once a week. So fam, trust us, you need some Goodles mac and cheese in your life.
Pick up Goodles on your next shopping trip. It's available nationwide at Target and Walmart, plus many other major grocery stores and retailers.
And don't forget the new single serve cups. We were just talking about them.
My fave.
I know.
Lifesaver. So yeah, all types of kids. They describe it like,
the school had like 2,000 kids in it. You know, it's the only high school in Northport.
I could be wrong, but it was maybe like a D average school.
Northport was like the redheaded stepchild, you know? The students weren't accepted unless they excelled in like athletics or if they excelled in academics.
They describe it like the jocks, the musicians. I'm like, so a typical high school?
Yes, right,
I've
exactly.
I've seen 10 Things I Hate About You.
And honestly, there is something appealing to me about having gone to a huge high school like that. Like, I didn't do that. I went to a small high school.
Yeah.
But it kind of would have been cool to, like, see that. Like, I went to a small college. I kind of wish we had, like, a quad and, like, a billion kids.
Yeah, but everyone who's describing the school, everyone's talking about it in a pretty negative light. And it made me kind of sad because I'm like, well, this isn't their fault. Like, the students, it's not their fault.
No, and, like, all the students we meet seem to have had a pretty good time.
And like, this is the only school in town. They don't have any other option. And it just feels like, can you care about the kids?
I know.
So Marcus Freeman was a star student all across the board. He was the star football player. He got straight A's. We're told he was on the path to something amazing.
And he was like amazing at football. They called him like the secret weapon. When he was like, we're going to learn later, he was like drafted up to varsity when he was a freshman. Like, this kid's really, really good.
And his best friend Derek is here to say, like,
he was my best friend. I mean, I live with him. I lost my dad in a car accident when I was 11. My parents were divorced, so I ended up moving in with Marcus. I mean, everywhere we went together, if it wasn't school, I mean, we were together.
They actually lived together for a time. They were on the football team. They knew each other their whole lives.
And, like, Marcus's family took Derek in when, like, one of his parents died, I think. Like, it was they're one of those really good, kind families.
Yeah. So this guy, George Kenny, he's the high school principal. And, like, one year they go off for summer vacation, right? And then, like, when they come back, he's now super into hypnosis and using it on the kids. So, like, last year this wasn't a thing. And by September of the next school year, it's this guy's entire personality.
Yeah. Like, once again, we're going to get more on this later. He had been doing this job for 29 years, went away, like, chaperoned literally a field trip where he saw one of those, like, X-rated hypnotists, like, making kids do, like, the fucking chicken dance or whatever. And he's like, he was inspired to go learn hypnosis, and all hell is about to break loose because of it.
So Marcus Freeman died in a car accident, and we're told that it's after doing, quote, self-hypnosis. So his coach is also named Marcus.
Now, once again, we don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
You know?
So Marcus, the coach, is like, I'm going to stop you right here. I don't like the hypnosis shit at all. He goes, these are young kids. They're learning. They're growing. Their minds are developing. And he's like, so, like, hypnosis is weird. And now we're, like, teaching them how to do it. Self-hypnosis? No way. I'm on Marcus's side with
1,000%! Like, this, I'm going to get incensed. This is all, to me, this is so fucking crazy. It is so black and white.
It's so inappropriate.
I think this principal should be in prison for the rest of his fucking life.
Oh, my God.
I hate this guy.
Yeah, I think it's complicated, but I don't think he's blameless here. No way.
Your moderate take is probably the right one, but I, like, just having a kid in school, they also wait too long to tell us that some of the parents signed off on this. Like,
Barely.
I don't love how this documentary was made, but I do think it's a good documentary. Anyway, we'll get more into it later.
So Marcus Freeman dies in a car accident, and he's with his 16-year-old girlfriend, Carly O'Boyle. She was seriously injured. They were driving home from a dentist appointment.
Yeah, he was getting a routine cavity filled. We're going to spend 5 minutes later being like, did something happen? No, he was getting a cavity filled. This is not the fault of the dentist.
Yeah, but I guess the question is that no one's really asking is like, well, did he have medication? Like,
I mean,
was his girlfriend supposed to drive him home? Like, what?
My teeth are so bad, I can tell you. I've had so many cavities filled that, like, they typically give you Novocaine, and if you're lucky, you'll get some of that laughing gas that literally wears off in 8 seconds.
Okay.
So if he was given anything more than that, it would be very highly unusual. It's not unheard of, but it would be very highly unusual.
So I guess we'd know.
I mean, I think we know. Like, I can tell you, I've had probably 15 cavities filled, and, like, that's the drill.
Okay.
Literally, that's the drill.
Oh, my God, don't.
I did it.
Don't.
Oh, sorry. Does that sound trigger you?
I feel it.
I know. Me too.
I feel it. I hate it. So Carly, Marcus's girlfriend, tells people what happened. She says they left the appointment. They were driving down the highway. They were singing Firework by Katy Perry.
His arms were 10 and 2. He was locked up behind the wheel, and his eyes were rolled back in the back of his head. Like he was hypnotized, per se. She yelled at him, screamed at him, beat his arms to try to get him off the steering wheel. And then all she remembers was they started to drift slowly.
The BFF Derek chimes in and says, like he was hypnotized, per se. I don't know
because
if that's what happened.
It's impossible to know. We will never know. The rumors are now flying around the school that he was self-hypnotizing and that he was taught how to do this by Dr. Kenny, the school's principal.
Right.
You know, Marcus's parents are on the news saying they want Dr. Kenny to know that he has ruined their lives.
Right. So, but like the town is kind of divided because it's an absolute tragedy and they're aren't any answers. And usually when that happens, we sort of have a bunch of different camps.
And we're going to learn Dr. Kenny is beloved. Like, this town loves him.
I don't get it.
Me either.
I think he's a creep.
Prison for the rest of his life.
I think he is just a certified creep.
Yes. And, like, and acting way outside the bounds
of his authority. At the very least, he's a creep.
Yes.
So let's go back a little bit to 2004, 7 years before, quote, the deaths. Oh, no.
I actually wrote the murders. I know that's not what was said, but that's what I wrote by accident.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ow. You really, that's
7 years before the murders I wrote.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know where you stand on this.
I know.
That's like a meme move.
I'm going to try to not be insufferable about it, but I want this guy in prison forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in 2004, this was the first graduating class. Like, this is a new high school.
We meet Mouthy Janice, who's the bookkeeper, and she's got a lot of shit to say.
And party planner
I
and
hate
defender
Janice too.
Of these guys.
100%. She organized a lock-in for the night of that first graduation, and she brought in a hypnotist. And I said, thanks a lot, Janice.
Well, because they literally lock them into the gym as a way to make sure they don't drink and drive or get into into any trouble.
We talked about this, I think, on a recent episode. They did that after my prom. You opt into it. You don't have to go.
But it's like meant to be fun.
It's meant to be totally fun. And they do things like they bring in a hypnotist. They bring, like, we had a Velcro climbing wall. Like they do make it kind of fun.
Okay.
It's a way to keep the kids off the street. Not all the kids participate. But if you do it, you have to agree to be there from like 11 p.m. to like, you know, 8 a.m. or something.
Look, if we're getting drunk people off the street,
drunk
great.
Kids,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for keeping people safe, great. But we were not, I guess, because Janice is going around to all the, quote, project graduations in the district, and she found this hypnotist. Also, Janice's dog is here. The dog didn't do anything wrong.
I know.
Front and center, sitting on Janice's lap, knees. Hi, friend. Loving you.
Did we get a lower third?
No, we didn't.
I hate it.
We meet another dog later. We don't get their name either.
Okay. Okay. Documentary makers, you got to do better.
Okay.
You got to do, but we asked for so little.
I know that there's, like, a lot more to get to.
I know.
So we see footage, and it's, like, billed as this comedy show.
There are, like, football players. They're in a beauty pageant, and so they're putting the lipstick on, and they think they have boobs, and they walk around the stage, and they outdo one another.
Putting on lipstick, like, haha, guy in a dress.
Right. And, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, where I grew up on Cape Cod, they would do this, like, X-rated hypnotist thing a lot. Where, like, at the bars at night, like, you know.
You're saying X-rated?
Yeah. I mean, I think they use that term loosely. But,
okay.
Like, you know, he would, like, get the girls to, like, maybe, like, lift their top.
Hate
or,
it.
Like, I mean, horrible.
Well,
like, 90s bullshit.
I don't like, because these are all, like, teenagers.
Yeah.
And the reason we're doing this is because they're 17 years old and shouldn't be left to their own devices.
Yes.
So they're, like, young kids. And so they're, like, losing their inhibitions. They're doing things they'd never do. And I don't like watching it. I find it very weird and very unsettling. I don't like the power dynamic with the adults and the kids. I'm a total wet blanket, but I don't like it.
No. We talked about this off mic. Like, is it real? I've never understood if this is actually real or not. Like, are these hypnotists able to actually hypnotize these people to get them to do stuff? Or is it like I'm in front of this group and now I've got to, like, perform. I'm gonna just go with it because it'll be funny.
Yeah.
Or is it like a little column A, little column B?
It's probably a little bit of both. I'm not an expert. I really do think, though, that it'll work on you if you want it to.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if, I mean, I definitely don't want it to work on me.
I definitely do. Like, if I raised my hand to do this, oh my God, like, the sky would be the limit.
I think it's just, what do they call it? Like a quote, like a highly suggestible state,
uh-huh.
You know, because we will learn a little bit more about it later, but I just don't really.
I would have my shirt off running up and down the aisles in 4 seconds. You're welcome.
You don't need to be hypnotized. You can just do it. You don't need to, like, blame it on the hypnosis.
No, I'm hypnotized.
You know?
Patrick, put your shirt on. I'm hypnotized, though.
I gotta tell you, I feel like this guy would love that because I think he's a fucking creep.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Because this principal guy starts going to all of the project graduation events at different schools, talking to the hypnotist and getting involved and assisting them. It's just inappropriate.
He goes to become the magician's assistant, literally.
He's like a fangirl.
It's like, why is he so upset? Like, this guy wants control over other people. That's what this comes down to.
100%.
That's what, like, hypnotizing people in this, like, doing this is all about for him. I'm not talking about, like, the doctors and the people who are, like, certified to do this for real. He wants to control other people.
Because in certain states, I believe, it's recognized as a form of therapy.
I mean, we've talked about how, like, you can get hypnotherapy for flying.
Right,
you know, like, you can get it for drinking. You can get it for smoking. You can get it for, like, and they say it really works.
Really?
Yes. I mean, that's what they say. I've never experienced it. Can we go to an X-rated hypnotist one night? That'd be really fun. Would you go with me?
Maybe.
It won't be on a party barge, I promise. We'll do it, like, on dry land.
I'm such a fucking insufferable
asshole. What's your
level
of tolerance for me and my shirt off? I need to know. I need a 1 to 10 on this.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever. If you want to do it again. But what's really great about this is they keep, I mean, clearly the people who made this documentary hate this guy, the principal, because they keep dropping in video from his deposition. And
which is the great, if you're ever deposed, you have to imagine it's going to be in a documentary that you and I are going to cover someday.
Because the lawyer's like,
you have 1 week of education in hypnosis, correct?
I have 1 week of formal training. That would be true.
Let's talk about this course that you took at the Omni Hypnosis Center in DeLand, okay?
Okay.
I have 1 week of formal training, but, you know, I'm one of those natural hypnotists.
Well, it is also a 5 days. It's not even a full week. It's a 5-day thing.
You took a 5-day course at the Motel 6 down by the airport.
Which I literally wrote, this is giving Jenna Maroney's Royal Tampa Academy of Dramatic Tricks if ever I've heard anything.
100%. And so this guy on the video. This guy in the video says we should start hypnotizing our kids at 5 years old and teaching them how to hypnotize themselves. Like, what are we doing?
Like that. Now, once again, like.
For what?
I mean, if some expert can convince convince me that, like, there is value in hypnosis in terms of, like, helping kids with anxiety, helping with, you know, like, somebody could probably tell me in a way that I would believe that this can be used for the forces of good. I get it. But, like, three kids died in the span of 3 months. Three kids died in the span of 3 months the year that this man started doing this.
Right.
29 years of this job and not doing this and no kids died. Mm-hmm. 1 year of doing this hypnosis and three kids died. And this guy wants to say it has nothing to do with him.
And suddenly this principal is moonlighting as a performer, only it was during school hours.
Right.
And interrupting class and fucking doing crowd work and doing bits and hypnotizing people, going to random classes, attending field trips.
Is there no community theater in this town? Could you know this man wants to do the very merry model of a modern major general? Did I get
the sure. Gilbert and Sullivan and then Hamilton.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. But I'm just saying, like, this guy just wants a fucking audience. Is there nothing for him? He can't go on a storytelling tour?
But also, like, this is a school that's struggling, apparently.
Right.
So maybe don't interrupt class for your fucking hobby. It's your hobby.
Good night. We did it. That's it.
These are kids who are struggling in school or whatever. Whatever it is. We heard it's all, like, all negative things about this school. And
yes.
The principal is now going to interrupt for crowd work and hypnosis bits or taking kids out of class to be in his office alone.
Exactly.
But Eric Williams is here and he admits that he was very susceptible to this. He says that the principal would hypnotize him.
After the hypnosis, my score went up by 500 points. I took that test and I breezed through it, and I've never breezed through a test.
That's not something that happened to me. I didn't ace tests. So now, like, he's making this link between the hypnosis and the good grades.
And even this principal will say, I can't give you the information, but I can quell your anxiety. I can make you do it faster. I can make you be more focused. It's not that he's, like, giving them the answers, but what he would say is that the hypnosis is giving them the tools to be able to take tests more efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not one of those, like, ageist people, but I'm going to say that this is just a fact. With their underdeveloped, emotionally heightened brains.
Yes.
That's just a fucking
and
fact.
And sometimes they go home and kill themselves after.
Sometimes, like, I'll read you a quote from a study that I looked up specifically about this. Because
okay,
I was like,
good.
I need to know. Well, we'll get there.
Travel down the road back again.
Girl, earn in his back. Look, we've been saying it every week. Life does not happen bi-weekly, so why should payday?
Yeah, so EarnIn is the app that lets you access your pay as you earn it, up to $150 a day with a max of $750 between paydays.
All you gotta do, download the EarnIn app and add your info, then start accessing your pay as you work and leave an optional tip to help keep the app running for everyone.
Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck.
Yeah, EarnIn empowers you to make the most of your money with access of up to $150 a day of your pay with a max of $750 between paydays. No interest, no credit check, and no mandatory fees.
Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the EarnIn app, type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's True Crime Obsessed under podcast.
EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank.
Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors.
Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Expedited transfer available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service.
Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
Download EarnIn now to take control of your pay.
Yeah, seriously. Sometimes you just feel like treating yourself. Hello.
Treat yourself. 2025.
So the principal is also doing private sessions and was recording them with over 70 students. No one is doing anything about this. They think it's harmless. And I'm like, I don't understand. Is he not, at the very least, abusing his position, too?
100%.
Because, like, if nothing else came of the story, this guy would still be an insufferable asshole.
Yes.
And smug.
Yes.
And a creep.
And a completely unself-aware man in a very high position of power.
Yes.
Which should not be fucking allowed.
At one point, one of the students is like,
I didn't think it was weird at the time, because that's our principal. It's like your boss. Well, whatever he's doing must be okay, must be right.
It's the imbalance of power, right?
Yes.
We think about this in so many ways now. Thank God for, like, the Me Too movement. And we understand the imbalance of power. That is a power imbalance. He's saying, you need my hypnosis. And you can't say no to that.
I mean, there's that saying, like, oh, I felt like I was called into the principal's office.
Yes.
He's literally calling you into the principal's office to do hypnosis. And everyone in the documentary is handed an iPad.
Oh, my God.
And we see them watch the sessions. We don't see it just yet. But then it cuts to the deposition. And this principal is like, oh, I erased all the tapes after I got all the bad press, but we still have
not
footage.
Not all of them, sir, because we are watching a fair amount of these things.
These kids were doing, quote, therapy. He did over 70 students, and these kids were doing what he calls therapy, which is illegal and not accurate, with him 3 times a week. Where is literally any other adult? Where's another teacher?
We'll get there in a minute, but like the way that when he hypnotizes these kids, boys and girls, they're
mostly
boys and girls,
boys.
Not meant mostly boys.
Mostly boys.
Thank you. We're going to talk about that,
yes.
Right? Their heads are fully in his lap.
Well, right. So when we finally see, because we see people react to the video and you're like, it can't be that bad. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So he's really, really close to them. Their legs are almost intertwined. He's in a chair. They're in a chair.
Legs between legs.
He's like not behind his desk.
Yes.
Like their legs are intertwined. Then he'd be like, you know, look into my eyes. You're getting very sleepy. 3, 2, 1. The boys, and all we see is boys right now.
Yeah.
The boys would fold over, slumped over, their heads are, when I say completely in this guy's lap,
yes,
they are falling.
In, like a head on his crotch.
Into his arms. And he has his head, this is so fucking disgusting.
It is.
He has his hand on their head and he's like rolling their head around in his crotch.
Yes.
And
yes,
like running his fingers through their hair.
Oh my God.
It is fucking disgusting. And they're doing.
I felt the vomit coming up in my throat as you were saying.
They're
that.
Doing everything he wants them to do.
And according to the student and to this principal, these boys are unconscious. Now, the words of sexual abuse are never said in this documentary. It is never discussed. I don't know why. But, like, their heads are on his penis. Like, they just are.
They just are.
They just are.
And he's rolling their heads around.
Yes.
There's movement that he is forcing them to do.
Yes.
In his lap. Like, but the thing that's crazy, again, this was a school that was, quote, struggling. This whole thing, we are told, is actually working when it comes to academics because all of the numbers in the school are up. So no one's really paying that much attention to this.
Yeah.
Because it's, quote, working.
And at this early stage in him doing this, these kids, their parents don't know that it's happening.
They don't.
There's not another adult in the room. He's videotaping it, but there's not another adult in the room and there is no parental consent happening at this point.
So Marcus died in the car crash. He is the star everything, star athlete,
yeah,
star student. But BFF Derek says,
we got moved up to varsity our freshman year. I mean, we played with boys twice our size. You know, Marcus was getting banged up a lot out there, getting hurt. One day he came to me. He said, hey, man, I'll be gone for about an hour. I'll be back, and then I'll meet you before pregame. I said, okay, where are you going? He's like, oh, I got to go to Dr. Kenny's office. I said, for what? He's like, he's been hypnotizing me for pain.
We hear this all from his best friend, Derek.
Yeah.
Where Marcus is saying, like, I just want to be able to play through the pain. That's a bad idea, especially when you're a child. You
yes.
should not be finding ways for him to do that, adult person.
Yes.
So every Friday before the game, Marcus would get hypnotized. He'd go to see the principal. He would get put in a trance. And he told his BFF, Derek, that he then, like, wouldn't be able to feel his body at all. So then he'd get hit as many times as possible during the game and play through that pain, which is ridiculous and dangerous.
The way, sorry, not to harp on this, but the way that they describe being hypnotized is that they cannot feel their bodies. So they are literally in a trance alone in a room with this man where they cannot feel what he's doing to their bodies.
It's disgusting.
And once again, nobody says anything about sexual abuse, but watching these videos, it is undeniable that there is a sexual component to this.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the principal is like, well, this didn't have anything to do with pain. This is about a sports performance. Cut to the deposition. Is your testimony under oath that you never promised to help him with pain? Yes. The lawyer goes, all right, I don't believe you. I just wanted you to say it for the record.
Yeah,
thanks.
Totally.
But apparently, this was working because we're told that Marcus would get hit super hard and just get right up and keep playing. And people are like, it was amazing to watch. No, it's this is not a good thing.
No.
This should horrify you.
And it's also like, how much of that is like real versus how much of that is mental? You know what I mean?
Well, we meet Dr. Julian Casalia and he'll come back a lot later, but he says,
he's a clinical hypnotherapist. So this is a man with all of the fucking degrees and certifications. This is the guy who did it the right way.
Right. He says, pain is an electrical and chemical response in the brain to a damaged nerve. That's all it is. We interrupt that message by, I don't know, taking aspirin.
Yes.
Something like that. He says, you cannot stop that message hypnotically. And this is important. It doesn't stop the nerve from being damaged. It just stops the brain from responding to it.
Right.
And that's why this is really dangerous.
And that's what the doctor says. I called him Dr. Julian. He was saying, when I'm assessing a patient for pain management, I need to decide if the right course of action is stopping the pain or is the pain telling us something important that we need to pay attention to.
Right.
So it's like, if Marcus Marcus gets his ankle broken on the field and can't feel it, is that that's a bad thing.
It's a very bad thing.
You know?
And BFF Derek is saying that the more this hypnosis was happening, Marcus was becoming more and more a shell of himself.
I mean, there was even times where he'd come back to the sidelines and just have like a blank stare and just staring at the football field.
Poor Marcus would just be like standing there staring, like unclear on what to do. Like he wasn't actually there. Derek like says it's like he was in a trance.
Zapping his brain.
Right. So when Marcus dies in this car accident, which again, it's like, okay, well, he's getting hurt a lot. And we know that brain injuries happen a lot in football. It sounds like he had a seizure. Is it a seizure? Like what is the connection to the hypnosis? I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, like to hear his girlfriend tell it, she says like his eyes just went dead and they slowly drifted off the road until he crashed into a tree. Like, we can't all, I will just say this 100 times insufferably, there's no way to directly connect the hypnosis to the deaths, but in 29 years of this man not doing hypnosis, nobody died. In 1 year of this man doing hypnosis, 3 kids died.
And doing it shittily.
Yes. These 3 kids that died were kids that worked with him one-on-one.
Very closely.
Nobody
at least 3 times
can tell me there's not a correlation.
Yeah.
You know, that that maybe one would be a coincidence. Three, within 3 months, absolutely not.
Yeah. And I know there were 67 other kids. There should have been zero.
Right.
Is my point.
3 out of 67 is not good odds.
There should have been zero.
Yes.
He should not be doing this. So Marcus dies in this accident and everyone is grieving and the principal, we're told the principal is letting everyone grieve. I'm like, of course he is.
Yeah. But bookkeeper Janice has this quote where she goes, I don't think there would have been any of this, you know, hubbub if it wasn't for the deaths and the suicides that came after.
Oh,
really, Janice?
Shut up, Janice.
Shut up, Janice.
Shut up. And also like,
I need a shut up Janice mug tomorrow.
Oh my God, Janice, you suck. But like, we never spoke to the dentist. It seems like no one spoke.
I know.
Like the documentary didn't, no on-screen text. Like, we could have some answers about what happened at that appointment, and we have zero.
But it's like he just got a cavity filled.
I guess. So then, like you were saying, there are more deaths. The 2 deaths that follow Marcus are ruled as suicides.
Yeah.
And 3 students are dead in 3 months. All of them are Northport students. All of them were hypnotized. How is this guy not even questioned about any of this? Because once again, everyone is divided. I'm like, my head is spinning. Like, this guy eventually leaves town.
Yeah.
He quits, not fired. He quits. And everyone wants to know why. And like, he's never told his side of the story and he's never explained and people want the explanation. And then I'm like, why are we releasing balloons?
Don't we have enough
to deal with? Why am I looking at 40 balloons in the air?
I know. You know, that's one of the crusades we've been on since day one. That's one of the, like, one of our first asks.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that anymore.
Well, give them an option. What else should they do?
I don't know. What can you do? You can't do rice.
Can you bake a cake?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes. That you can do.
I'm not doing that. I don't know how to bake a cake.
The big you. So this asshole is here to sit down for this documentary. He's crying and he says, literally quoting Fleabag.
So what is this story about? This is a love story. And it's about what every teacher feels for their kids.
This is a love story. And I'm like, don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
And he goes, this is a love story. It's about what every teacher feels for their kids.
I wrote OMG barf.
Fake tears, fake sniffles. End of episode one.
Travel down the road, back again. Girl, Haya is back. These are those amazing kids' vitamins that are not full of sugar.
Yeah, typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, right? They have like 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, all these other gummy additives that growing kids should never eat.
No, and that's why Haya created a super-powered chewable vitamin.
Yeah, many children's vitamins have like 5 grams of sugar.
Yes.
Which we hate because that's known to contribute to a variety of health issues. So Haya is made with 0 sugar and 0 gummy additives.
Also, are you like me and sick of battling with your kids to eat their greens? Haya now has a Kids Daily Greens Plus Superfoods. Now get this, Daisy loves this. It's a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. So we do this every morning in our house. You just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. This is why we don't have the fight at dinner anymore about making her eat your broccoli.
Yeah, so the same multivitamin that more than 1 million parents trust is now available available with an enchanting Disney Princess welcome kit.
Yes!
With a new princess unboxing experience, including princess bottle and stickers.
Daisy loves the stickers and stickering her bottle.
Love.
And fam, we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order.
To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/TCO.
This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/TCO and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
So it's like the candy vitamins, but they actually have nutrients in them.
And you can decorate the bottle with Disney princesses.
Who knew?
It's the best.
Look Into My Eyes, episode 2, Bypass the Critical. I'm like, I don't need these episodes to be titled like hypnosis jargon. Like,
wait,
enough.
How did we hear about this documentary?
It was sent to me by so many people.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's a good documentary.
It's just a crazy topic.
I
think people feel insane watching it and they want to scream.
I am fascinated by the idea of hypnosis. Fascinated.
Yeah, I am. But like, I like having my distance from it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So this guy, the principal is Dr. George Kenny.
I'm not calling him doctor.
See, I take issue with that.
I know that he earned his doctorate. I get it. Anybody else who did it the same way with him, I'm happy to call you doctor. It's not that.
Right.
The head of school of Daisy School is a doctor. We call her doctor. She's got the same degree. The people of this town literally get confused and allow the hypnosis to happen because they think he's an actual medical doctor.
Well, because he's telling them that.
I want this man in prison.
He's lying.
Did he really tell people he was a medical doctor?
Even in the deposition, he says he's totally, completely qualified. Even in the permission slip that the parents signed, because we'll look at it later.
Oh my God.
He says like a licensed whatever.
Well, I'm not calling him that. I'm calling him Kenny. That's his last name.
Right. So he's in North Carolina. I have former principal because that's his lower third, former principal.
When bad people happen to good states, hi, Julie and Camille. I love North Carolina and I love my family in North Carolina. I don't want him to live there.
Yeah. Well, he does, unfortunately.
I want him out.
Well, I'll give you an update on what he's doing.
He left because I asked him to.
So he's always been interested in hypnosis. He was chaperoning kids to a conference in Orlando. The entertainment is for teenagers. He is transfixed. He is in awe of what he's seeing. He simply must be a part of this.
Now, my thing to this son of a bitch is he easily could have gone out and been like the party clown. Do that. If you want
to. It's a hobby, bro.
If you want to do the hypnosis because you think it's fun and you're good at it and it's real, go do it.
Do
go
the party
make
trick.
Like the chubby gay guy take his shirt off and run up and down the aisles. I will do it every single time. But don't get in the fucking heads of your kids.
But what's really scary where I'm like, oh, he's just, this is the beginning of him just like saying it all out loud.
Yeah.
I think his name was Dr. Wand. And it was pretty fascinating how trusting these kids could be that were involved and to what degree he could influence their behavior.
The guy on stage was really influencing their behavior. And I'm like, you know, we can hear you, right?
I know.
So there's footage of him doing this in the classrooms on a regular basis. He's not observing, which I know is a thing. He is interrupting class at a school that could use a hell of a lot of help, by the way.
And by the way, like having a kid who really struggles in school, I can say these kids, they're not doing anything wrong with this, but they will look for any reason to not have to do the lesson. You know what I mean? Kids who are having a hard time in school are thrilled to have the fun principal come in and do the fucking chicken thing.
And what some of them will tell you, though, is that like, well, I played better at the game. I aced that test.
Yes.
So they're seeing it as like, quote, working.
And if that's real, if that's legitimate, can we get one expert to tell us that?
I would love that.
You know what I mean?
I would love that.
Because like this can be, but I think what our expert, Dr. Julian, will tell us eventually is hypnosis for kids this age is just a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
It's just a bad idea. Their frontal cortex or whatever it's called is not formed yet. Like, don't mess with their fucking psyche.
But he's also just completely unabashedly full of shit, this former principal guy, because he goes, well, you know, he describes a student that he says was, quote, experiencing tics. And he goes, well, you know, it's like what Tourette's would be.
Yes.
And I'm like, so this isn't an official diagnosis. You're just saying whatever.
Yes.
And he says, actually, Jillian, I will confirm it. He says the student was not diagnosed with Tourette's and he had not seen a doctor. And I'm like, who does this guy think he is? First of all, this is Nexium all over again.
Yes.
Because he claims he cured the student.
Oh,
like,
my God, remember that?
The student isn't here. A doctor isn't here.
Right.
The parents aren't here. He's just like saying shit for the sake of it because there's a camera in his face.
Yeah.
And he's trying to justify his creepy fucking weird behavior.
I know we'll get into this like in episode 3 or 4 or whatever, but like the fact that this guy sat down to do this documentary is wild. It's wild
it's
that he's
typical.
Here. It is. Oh, that is so much better said.
It's typical.
That's exactly right.
Of course he did it.
Yeah. Yes.
And he'll tell you exactly why.
Yeah.
He's telling you exactly who he is.
And he just doesn't think he did anything wrong.
He's the victim. And he says so multiple times.
I'm going to throw up. I don't think I'm going to make it all the way through this.
Because here's the thing about people like this. They are experts at making themselves both the hero and the victim.
Yes.
All at once. And he...
You're
does
so
this.
Smart.
Patterns, girl.
You're so good at
it's
this.
It's just pattern. It's just patterns.
But you are an excellent judge of character.
Thank you.
Know what I mean? And it really serves, I mean, it served you so many times, but it really, like, you really see it in a thing like this.
Thank you.
Even I can say there's nothing impressive about this guy.
No.
But, like, typical. You're right.
I hope he heard that, though.
I know.
Because all he wants to be is, well, he would just, you know, blame you for being, you know,
Yeah, totally. And, but, that, you know, if he throws a party where he's doing, like, the X-rated thing, I'm going. I will be the guy.
Not
I will
anymore.
Raise my...
You
not
would have
not
before
this,
this not this one, right?
Oh my God.
So this
can't
like,
get my shirt off fast enough.
So that's, but that's this like curing Tourette's. I'm like, did you just watch The
oh
Vow,
my God,
bro? Like,
I know.
Because the quote, curing the student.
So after I thought, I need to get more training to make sure that what I'm doing is the best that I can possibly do this. So I went to training at the Omni Hypnosis Center.
You're going to do it even better than I did because now you know what you're doing.
It was the 5-day course that you took?
True.
The Omni Hypnosis Training Center. And like the flyer would like to say it was made in Canva, which I used, by the way, like no shade. This like the flyer was made like it looks exactly like what it is.
If Canva existed in 1990.
Exactly.
And it says it's at the Omni. This is we will post the screenshot.
Yeah.
The Omni Hypnosis Training Center presents Gerald Kynes snippets and then in quotes, hysterical person.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
He is literally taking the training to be a party clown and like applying it to his kids who have real issues that need to be looked at by a doctor. If you think that this student might have Tourette's syndrome, you need to have him go get evaluated.
Right. So the kid's not here, a doctor's not here, the parents aren't here. Is this real? Like, what are you talking about? So, and I don't want to discount, I know people have had a lot of success with therapy with hypnosis, but that's not what this is.
I'm not saying
he's also
that
not a fucking licensed therapist.
That hypnosis is bad or wrong. I would do it. I really would. I would try it if I needed it. I'm not discounting hypnosis. What this man did is so fucking dangerous and 3 people died.
Yeah. It's really, really dangerous. But now he's like, he's an expert. 5 days, he's an
right,
expert.
Yes.
So 2011 is the year of the deaths. This former principal explains that he suggested hypnosis to Marcus Freeman because this guy was working with some other athlete. And he basically like talks Marcus into this hypnotherapy, which is not hypnotherapy.
Yes.
And Marcus is like, yes. Like, wait, you're telling me I can play better? I could do like short. Like, God knows what this guy said to this teenager.
The quarterback of the football team that he's going to now get alone in his office and unconscious.
And literally put his face down, by the way. In his lap, rolling his head around and putting his fingers through his hair.
Yes, and I'm glad that we're fucking talking about it because nobody else is. It is, you watch the video and it is so inappropriate.
And there's no trigger warning about it. There's no, like, it's bizarre that no one talks about how physical, and he is constantly, because I'll bring it up later, he is constantly touching these kids.
Yes.
And not just the hypnosis. He is constantly touching these minors, these underage children.
I'm so glad. I thought it was just me. I'm like, am I just being that hypersensitive gay guy again? No, right?
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
Because it would be bad enough without it. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, oh, there's that level to it too?
And
holy
it's so
shit.
Blatant.
It's blatant.
It's the kind of thing where once you do it one time, then that's just the norm. It's normal. It's grooming.
And they don't know what's happening to them.
Yes, right.
Because snap, and then you literally snap them out of it.
Yeah.
So they worked, quote, a few times during spring break, which is weird because that's not what BFF Derek said in the last episode. In the last episode, he said this was a weekly thing before all the games.
Yes.
So he's working with Marcus very, very, very closely, working with, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And Marcus dies a few days later on March 15th, 2011, in the car accident. And the fake principal is fake crying. Oh, former principal, but yeah, fake principal, whatever.
Yeah,
former principal
totally
is fake crying.
I said murder. I stand by
you
it.
You know what I mean? Because he says Marcus was amazing and this is so tragic. Yes, those things are true. But then he says, well, the response was so big, the response to this tragic accident and a teenager dying.
It got so big that I started to get concerned. Down the line, we're going to have another death in this school. I think we need to start to move on. I'm concerned about how others might react down the road.
there will be another death at this school. I think we need to start to move on.
It's almost as though he knows what's going to happen.
I said, what?
I know.
And then because there's no empathy either. You will never hear any warmth or compassion or understanding or empathy for the three dead teenagers.
Yes.
Not once.
Especially the two that died by suicide.
Not once. So, but he continues and he goes, oh, well, that turned out to be very prophetic. I mean, you know, And then he goes, I don't know how deep I want to go into this
last
part.
This school story, this documentary turns into Heathers. Did you see Heathers?
Of course.
I mean, it becomes Heathers, where like all of these teenagers are dying by suicide and it like becomes normal.
Yeah.
It becomes not weird anymore.
I can't believe he had the nerve to say that the response to Marcus's tragic death was, quote, too big. It was so big that it was concerning.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, well, someone else is going to die soon. Like, we can't be harping on Marcus. And I'm like, I don't understand the words that you're saying to me right now and why you're saying them and why you think this is a good idea and how this makes you the hero and the victim at the same time.
Right.
You're an insane person.
He has no self-awareness or any ability to look at his role in this.
Zero.
That's what it is.
Zero.
Travel down the road back again. Girl, cornbread hemp CBD gummies are back. I take one every single day when I get home from work to take the edge off.
Yeah, there's like, we all have a lot going on.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you just want to take the edge off. Sometimes you need to relieve aches or discomfort. I feel like everyone has tried absolutely everything and it wasn't working until the CBD gummies from cornbread hemp.
Listen, they only use the best part of the hemp plant, the flower, for the purest, most potent CBD. I used to sometimes when I would try this with other brands feel like groggy or disoriented. No, this just like relaxes me a little bit and I'm like a better me.
Yeah, because they're specifically formulated to help relieve discomfort or stress or sleeplessness or all of the above.
Oh, and get this. All products are third-party lab tested and USDA organic to ensure safety and purity. Look, gone is the afterwork cocktail. In is the CBD gummy.
Yeah, and it's also nice to know that I have something that can help me.
Yes.
Because that used to be part of the stress of my day of being like, great, well, I know I'm not going to sleep later.
Right.
You know? It's really helpful.
So fam, right now, TCO listeners can save 30% on their first order.
Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout.
That's cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO, but only if you want to feel better at some point during the day when you take one.
Yeah, use code TCO. That's it.
Please
Very simple.
Thank you so much.
CBD TCO. It works. So Wesley McKinley is 16 years old. He went to this guy for hypnosis. He wanted better grades and he wanted to, quote, do better socially, which broke my fucking heart.
And he was new. Like, he was new to the school, but even though he was new, like, everybody loved him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, like, we meet his mom, Peggy, and his dad, Charles, and, you know, we get a tour of his room and we learn that he had a really good heart.
Wesley was one of my best friends. Wesley was the kind of guy that would do anything for you. It's never a dull moment with that kid.
He was very talented, like super talented. Guitar, he was tall, you know. I just feel like he was like the ideal person.
He was just like the sweet new kid that everybody liked.
And Ashley's here and she's like, yeah, like we dated the way 14-year-olds date. Like our moms picked us up at the mall and dropped us off here and we went to the movies, you know, just like.
It's right around the corner. I'm not ready.
I know.
I'm not ready.
He was a talented musician. He was playing guitar. Like he loved music. And so Peggy, his mom, describes what happened. And this was the very day Wesley dies, he had a hypnosis
session. Yes.
So Peggy, Wesley's mom, describes what happened. And again, he just had a session with this piece of shit guy. So Wesley comes home from school. Again, he's like in a trance. He walks right by her.
Yeah.
Puts his backpack down and she says, and he walked out the back door. Like, she's like, hi, I'm right here. Like, what?
Yep.
So he told her that some friends were coming over. His mom asked what time. Wesley didn't answer. And he just walked right. She says he walked right past me and out the back door. And this was wildly out of character.
So 3 hours later, Peggy hears sirens. She said she had a very uneasy feeling. Detectives came to her door, asked if Wesley was her son, and said that he was dead. And how he was found, they lived near an abandoned house, and there was a woman driving around the neighborhood looking for a house to buy. She saw this one, and her young son jumped out of the car and said, let me go see if it has a pool. Went around back on this property and found Wesley hanging.
He had walked one block away.
Yeah.
And an hour later. So, like, when she's saying that he just walked right out the back door, like, it feels What she's describing feels like he was very determined. He's not answering. He walked, and an hour later, he's discovered.
I want to point out, I looked this up because they don't make it clear. Marcus died in that car accident on March 15th. Wesley died by suicide on April 8th. Less than a month later.
Yeah.
Two dead kids in less than a month.
And the kids are devastated because, like, they're still grieving Marcus and now this other tragedy.
At 16, 17 years old, how do you process the death of two kids in your high school?
Right. And the thing is that really sucks, and I'm probably speculating, but based on what I've learned about this guy, I think I'm kind of right. Wesley's death did not get the same response as Marcus's death. Because the principal was covering his own ass. He doesn't want people to make the connection that they were all hypnotized.
Yep, and he tells Ariana, because Ariana goes to Dr. Kenny, the principal who's doing the hypnosis, why isn't it getting the same level of coverage? And he said, because it was a suicide, and we don't want people to think that that is something to be celebrated. Fuck you.
First of all, supremely shitty take. Two, but you'll hypnotize them?
Right.
So, like, the irony of this guy talking about the suggestibility of teenagers.
Yes. And I want to go back to what you said. You're right. He's covering his own ass.
Yeah. He doesn't want people to know.
Yes.
That now two kids within a month that he's been working closely with.
Once again, 29 years of not doing hypnotherapy or hypnosis. It's not even the hypnotherapy. Yeah. 1 year of doing hypnosis and he's got two dead kids.
Yeah.
And we're not done.
We're not done. And this is when he gets shadier, because Wesley's mom, Peggy, says that Charles, the husband and Wesley's dad, went to collect Wesley's things at school. And the principal walked him to his car where Peggy, the mom, was waiting. And he's like,
I was sitting in our van and he came up to me and said, I'm so sorry for your loss. I didn't know Wesley, but I heard from other people that he was a really good kid, which was a bold-faced lie.
It's not just a lie. It's a lie on purpose, and it's a seed planting lie.
Yes.
It's a lie, like offering up that, oh, I didn't know him, but I heard from other people. You knew him.
You were working with him. You were doing your hypnosis on him.
Like, and then
his head was in your crotch yesterday.
Like, and then this guy doubles down on the lie in the deposition. And I'm like, well, okay, hey, documentary, can we ask him right now?
Yes.
Because he's mic'd up and on camera.
Yes.
So if we're not going to ask him these questions, then what are we doing here?
Right.
What are we doing? But like, he wants to do all of it. He wants to do the hypnosis for pain. He wants to get kids better grades. But he also wants to, like, convince kids they have 11 fingers.
Right.
So he wants to do the party tricks, but he also wants to...
Right, because we're learning about Wesley's last
what that word is.
I just don't want to call it hypnotherapy.
It's not.
Hypnosis session or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And his friends are saying that on the bus the day that he died, he was acting really weird. He was counting his fingers, going to 11, insisting that he had 11 fingers, but not number 7. Like, he was in a really fucked up mind space.
So the lawyer in the deposition is like, you didn't, like, snap your fingers and snap him out of it? Like, that's where that comes from. And
right.
In the deposition, the former principal is being grilled and he goes, well, it's temporary. And the lawyer shoots back. He goes, well, it's not temporary.
Right.
Because when you hang yourself, you end your life.
Right.
So it's not temporary. So that's what the lawyer is trying to say here, that, like, why didn't you make sure that he was not in this hypnotic state once he left?
Exactly.
The principal.
To the documentary now, he wants to make it clear. Wesley came to him. I didn't seek him out. Wesley came to me. That doesn't matter. The practice of doing hypnosis on these kids is against the law, and it must be against any kind of code of ethics that these educators live by.
And he says, because we're sitting with him for the doc in his den or whatever, and he takes, like, a long pause, and he takes a sip of whatever's in his mug, and he's like, you know, I didn't know Wesley very well. Yes, you did.
Yes, you knew him well enough to get inside his head.
Well, he was new. He just keeps, like, hedging and lying. I mean, he's just lying. That's what he's doing. So the former principal is now talking, like, a little bit about the hypnosis. And he'd say, like, oh, you know, like, we talk a lot about how we wanted to be better at guitar. And I'm like, wow, your relationship dynamic is getting bigger already.
Exactly.
I thought you didn't know the kid. And you lied to his parents.
Yeah.
That you'd never met him, which is also weird, too. Like, how many fucking red flags is this guy going to have, even when he's trying to make himself look better?
Which is so interesting, because you're right. He's lying to the parents on purpose to cover his tracks because he knows they're going to connect it.
Right.
So, like, in his heart of hearts, he knows he has some culpability here.
100%.
But he's going to say to us that I can't understand why anybody thinks I had anything to do with
this. Or I'm so misunderstood.
Right.
Or I was doing the right thing for these kids and, oh my God, like, there'll be some stupid excuse or whatever.
Yeah.
So then the former principal also describes, quote, drama behind the scenes.
There was some drama that was going on behind the scenes. There had been some bullying that had occurred online directed at Wesley.
all the rumors that come out about, you know, oh, well, he was being bullied. The kid was not hated. The kid was never bullied.
In Jordan's opinion, the principal is making up an excuse as to why Wesley needed his help. And Jordan's like, no, that's not a thing.
Or why Wesley took his own life because he was depressed because he was bullied.
Right.
And like, you don't say it when you're talking about the day this tragedy happened, you fucking prick.
Right.
God. Where's Drita when you need her?
It is, honestly.
I mean, it's a very, if you watch this, or if you decide to watch this, like, just be aware that your body will respond. Like, when you see the clip of it, you'll go like, whoa, like,
yeah.
I don't want anyone to see what I'm watching. You know what I mean? You want to, like, cover your screen or something.
The video images of them during their hypnosis sessions, because it's not just that their heads are in his lap. He then gets behind them and, like, puts their bodies next. So he's, like, spooning them, standing them up, and then laying them down. There's so much physical contact.
He will not stop touching them.
I know. Oh, my God.
So the day after Wesley's death, his parents are at school and the former principal is once again downplaying how much he knew their son. And he didn't say that he worked with him, didn't say that, oh, I hypnotized your son the day of his death.
Yes.
That is a fact. And he doesn't say a word about it. So Wesley's parents, just to be clear about what's happening, Wesley's parents leave school without any idea that the principal was doing private, unsanctioned hypnosis sessions with their minor underage child 24 hours before he died. They have no idea that that happened.
And he says, when asked by the documentary crew why he didn't tell them, he says, I just answered their questions.
Bullshit.
I know.
So a few days later, the former principal calls Wesley's parents, and this conversation is infuriating.
Unbelievable. So he died on a Friday. This is that Sunday.
And he doesn't care about them. He doesn't ask them how they are. It is all about him and his career.
Yes.
Because he comes clean about the hypnosis, and he's like,
and the reason that you didn't tell him about hypnotizing this student the day before he died was because you were worried about how that would look as to whether you were responsible for his death or not. Isn't that true?
True.
I didn't tell you sooner because I know it's going to look really bad. Also, there's an article coming out about all this. Like, just a heads up. Talk to you later. So this is the this fucking phone call is the first time that Wesley's parents are learning anything about hypnosis.
And my note right there, this right here has me screaming. As a parent, if I found out that my kid who killed himself—
Right, you're going through the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
And now the principal that I've had three conversations with over the last 2 days is telling me today that he's been doing private hypnosis therapy sessions with my dead kid.
And giving you a heads up— To make it all about himself.
Once again, all I would be thinking about is you were in the head of my kid who then went home and killed himself.
Right, you're the principal.
It is a direct correlation. You were dealing in the area where the mental health lives.
You're also not qualified for this. Like, this guy, he wants it every way he can have it.
And it gets worse because the parents come to school to meet with him on Monday. So Wesley dies on Friday. They get the call about the article on Sunday. Monday morning, the parents show up at school. The principal pulls out binders full of notes telling them he's using these students as guinea pigs for his research. And also, he's got tapes and CDs of hypnotherapy that you can buy on Amazon for $11.
This is all very real and official, and don't worry about it. And Peggy, the mom, is like, are you seriously trying to sell me a book right now?
Literally.
And she says, my son is dead because of you. I want to slow down on this for a second, because that definitely wasn't in any permission slip or anything. So now you're using these kids without anyone knowing, like, they're at school.
Yeah.
You're taking them out of class to, like, profit off of them. And you're doing your, like, study and getting your data with their heads in your lap.
If I found out not only that you're doing hypnosis on my daughter, but you're also video recording it without my consent, we are going to learn that the town comes to the defense of this guy. The school comes to these families of these dead kids are left to fend for themselves.
Yeah.
After their children have been so egregiously violated in all of these different ways.
Yeah. Then we learn.
Oh, she's mad today, girl.
Yeah, good. Fuck this guy.
I know.
So we learn about Brittany Palumbo. It's 3 weeks after Wesley's death, which was not long after Marcus's death.
Right.
Brittany Palumbo dies by suicide.
This is all within the span of 3 months.
And he says to us today, not, oh my God, what a tragedy. Not, oh my God, what can I do? Not, wow, I really love hypnosis, but clearly I have to figure out a bit, like nothing, right?
Right, yeah.
He says,
I hadn't realized that I had worked with Brittany because it had been 5 months. When I looked back in my notebook, there was a page for her. I was shocked.
because it happened like 5 months before. First of all, bullshit. Second right. of all, your research is bullshit because like Dr. Ann Burgess knows her fucking victims' names.
Exactly.
You know, like yes. knows the names of the people that she's getting her data from and her research. Do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
And like, and also like, is it because you don't really care about the girls?
Right.
Is a question that I have.
I mean, it is a 100% valid and fair question.
So for him to say, I know these kids, I was helping these kids, I got their kids' grades, but then say, I didn't even realize, I didn't know Brittany because it was 5 months ago.
Right.
Shouldn't you really care about all of your patients,
right.
your students, your this? Shouldn't you know Brittany's story backwards
because
and forwards?
He's crying about Marcus. He's crying about Wesley. No tears for Brittany.
He didn't even remember her. Mm-hmm. Or did he? Or like, that's probably bullshit to distance himself from it, but I don't fucking like it either way.
Right.
That's what I mean. Either way, it's bad.
And he's telling us that his last hypnosis session with her was 5 months ago. Why do we believe that? Why do we believe him?
I don't. Right.
You know?
Because what happens is, and like all of these kids just wanted help.
Yes.
And if he was a good principal, he would have said, I'm going to help you find those resources. I'm not qualified for that. I don't
yes.
have those credentials. I don't have the license, but I'm going to get you
of
to
course.
Where you need to be.
Yes.
Because Brittany went to her principal for college guidance.
Yes.
And so Patty and Mike are Brittany's parents. And they're thinking like, we are so invested in her life. Like, how did we not see the signs? Like they're feeling all of this guilt as her parents. Like we thought we were doing it right.
Yes.
Like, how did this happen? And she was trying really hard. And, like, she wanted to go to college because she wanted to be a teacher. She wanted a pointer for her birthday present
yes,
when she was a kid. Like,
totally.
She was so... And they just can't understand, like, how this happened.
And so it was the guidance counselor that came to the principal and said, my student Brittany needs something to help her get through the SATs. And so
also, can we abolish SATs and standardized testing?
Oh,
they're
my God,
bullshit.
Please.
They are such
100%.
Thank you.
And so Brittany did go to her mom, begging to be allowed to work with the principal, Kenny. And so the mom calls up the principal, and he assures the mom that he can help her relax. That's what he's promising. I can help her relax when she takes the SATs, and she will perform better.
Because she was smart. She had great grades. It was the standardized testing that was an issue. And
yes.
then, because she wanted it so badly, she'd be anxious. So he's saying,
yeah.
she's got everything going for her. Anyway, I'm just going to teach her some self-soothing techniques
yes.
so that she can take the test and not feel so anxious, and then whatever. But the mom's like,
I didn't like the idea. I didn't want the idea, but yet... My daughter had worked hard enough on her own, and having her literally in tears begging me, I called George Kenny on the telephone, and I spoke with him. And he assured me that he thought that he could help her to relax.
But Brittany was, like, begging her, like, I need help, like, please, 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 please.
And the mom agrees to it only because the mom is going to be in the room when it happens.
And the mom, you're like, okay, your kid's begging me
yes.
for help. Other students were doing it. He's the principal. It's
yep.
free. You yes. want to help your kid.
Right.
She's crying, like, she's, you know, like, what are you going to say to her?
I would say no.
I know. I understand
and
why.
And I'm not blaming Brittany's mom. I have only sympathy and empathy for these parents. I am not blaming them. And maybe I would only say no after having, like, the experience of watching this documentary. But, like,
right.
I would definitely not allow this. And Steve would definitely not allow this.
But the thing is, though, Patty, the mom, is very involved because she was like, I'm going to be in the room. And if
yeah.
that's a problem, then,
yes.
then we have a bigger problem.
Yes.
And the principal is like, that's totally fine. So she knew it was going to be filmed. She knew whatever. And she was there with her daughter while this session, whatever you want to call it, was happening.
Yeah.
And Patty, the mom, describes the session.
And we see it.
Yeah. Like, Brittany was slumped all the way over in the chair, very similar to the boys. I'm
yep.
sure it was a little different when her mother was there.
Yeah.
And she was in that position for 8 to 10 minutes. And her mom says that in the session, Brittany is told, if you ever feel anxious or confused, just blink your eyes rapidly and you will enter a calm and relaxed state. Which
yeah.
is like a technique for if you have trouble falling asleep. He didn't like make that up entirely,
yes.
but like,
yeah.
Oh, he Googled something. Great.
Right.
I Google
yeah.
things 100 times a day. You want a fucking medal?
Right.
So in the deposition, though, the former principal will say that Brittany's mother is lying about that. Another lie from another parent.
Right. I just want to also say, maybe I've already said this, but like, it is very hard to watch the position that these kids are in.
I don't like anything
they are,
about it.
They are folded in half.
Yeah.
They lose all ability to hold their bodies up, and they are folded in half.
They like collapse into him.
Yes.
And so Patty, Brittany's mom, says,
we were walking out to the car. I asked her if her back bothered her. And I said, to be bent over like you were. And she said, bent over? And I said, yes, the way you were sitting in the chair. She said, Mom, I was never bent over. So that stopped me in my tracks.
bend over like what? She had no memory of it.
Zero.
And that was the moment that I was like, these boys are disassociated from their bodies. They don't know what is happening to their bodies when they're under like this.
And that, like, it's very alarming to Britney's mom, as it should be. Yeah. And also, like, okay, so then she'll just, and again, if this is how hypnosis works, I don't know. I'm actually asking the question, but like, so when she starts to feel anxiety, she'll just know in the test what to do?
Uh-huh. Like, right, because she doesn't remember anything.
Right, so is the, like, will he say, does she leave with instructions? Or, like, do they talk about it ever?
It's like how Steve taught me to put my clothes away and fold my own clothes under hypnosis because I don't remember it.
Because you don't do it.
You know what I mean? That's how we know hypnosis works.
Right, totally.
That's when he taught me how to do it. So it's not my fault.
I can see Steve with the watch. But that is scary because it's very uncomfortable and she didn't remember it. And her mom's like, what? Like, what does this have to do with her test? Like, the mom didn't like it to begin with. And I think what I'm gathering from Britney's mom is that she didn't like it any better after she sat in on the session.
Exactly.
Right? So we get this like montage of how crazy this all is. Like, and in the deposition, the former principal keeps saying that he, quote, barely knew these kids. And that's when the lawyer is like, see, now that's the problem, though.
Right.
Because you're hypnotizing kids with no understanding of their mental state. So even if that's a lie to avoid responsibility, it's still bad for you.
Because that's my question the whole time. What is your intake process?
Zero.
You're dealing with children. You're dealing with teenagers.
He's saying that he's doing this for his own study, research, data, his books, his CD, his whatever. It's not about the kids. So it's like, never about the kids.
You're getting into their heads. You're messing with their psyches and their emotions without any understanding of what they're actually going through right now.
And he admits it. He says, I didn't ask them about their emotions. I didn't know what was going on in their lives, and I never consulted a doctor or anybody else. He says as much.
It is unconscionable.
Because either, again, I'm going to repeat it again. Either that's a lie.
Yeah.
And it's bad, or it's the truth and it's bad. Either way, it's bad.
Exactly. And like we learned, somebody tells us in here somewhere, the first rule of hypnotherapy is consulting with the patient's doctor.
Right.
The first thing you do is get a full fucking workup on who this person is, what they're dealing with. What, not everybody is a good fit for hypnotherapy.
Well, for example, like there was a lot going on with Britney at the time.
Britney and her boyfriend broke up. And she had this boyfriend for a couple of years, and I knew she did care a great deal about him. After she got her SAT scores, she said, that was my last chance. She had wanted to get into UCF. She wasn't going to be able to go there.
She didn't get into the school she wanted. And like, that was why she was doing hypnosis. He said he'd help her get into her dream school. And she didn't.
No, getting into that school was everything to her.
And she's devastated.
And she saw hypnosis as her last resort. So when that didn't work,
right.
I mean, suicide was the next option for her.
Or maybe to get in those kids' heads like this is just not safe.
No, absolutely not safe. And so we learned that, like, they had grad night at Disney World. I love Disney World. And she was having a great time. She was in a good mood. And then a few days later, she dies by suicide.
I also want to say that this asshole keeps saying, quote, committed suicide, which shows...
Oh, everybody says it. I know.
But, like, here, like again, like, which is it, brah?
Right.
Are you an expert at this or are you not? Because if you were, like, it just shows how out of touch he is, that someone who supposedly cares about the well-being of these kids...
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit, I'm just saying.
No, yeah, yeah.
He would use the right terminology because that would be his life's work.
Right. But also maybe by saying committed suicide, he's trying to make it her fault.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
That's why we don't say that.
Exactly.
So the day of Britney's death, her mom tells us what happened. She came home.
This is really brutal.
Yeah. She came home at 4 p.m. She said she was going to take a nap. And at 6:30, her mom went upstairs to get her for dinner and her door was locked. And so they end up getting into Britney's room through her bedroom window.
Yeah.
Maybe she's at her desk or sitting on her bed. She's in her closet.
Now, at this point in the storytelling, the dad has to get up and leave.
And I you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, whatever you have to do. I made that note too, though. It was like, he couldn't.
He can't do it.
And I completely.
Yeah.
It's just so sad. And our mom says we tried to bring her back. And, you know, it's just so devastating.
The dad says, when you find your child like that, that memory never leaves you. By the way, I got to this point in my taking my notes this morning when I had to go wake up Daisy. And I went and held her for 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
I was right here that I had to stop and go wake her
up. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is she over that? Or is she
no.
at the, is she, she's not.
I mean, it depends on the day. Some days, our ritual was always, I would wake her up. I would carry her out to the living room. We sit on the couch and we listen to two songs. Mm-hmm. And that's what we get to do before she has to, start her morning stuff.
Yeah.
There are a lot of days now that she insists she's going to walk out and I don't get to carry her. But on mornings when maybe she feels like I need it, she'll still let me carry her. And, this morning, I was like, I would not let her go.
Yeah, this is not the morning.
This was not the morning.
Say no, Daisy.
No, and she was very good about it. We got to talk about the hair, the brushing of the hair.
It's bad.
It's becoming such a, she thinks it's brushed and it isn't. And it's so long and thick and beautiful, but not when it's got to be taken. I need help. I need help.
Yeah.
And then it's a constant fight for me. I can't talk. I can't do this right
okay.
now.
Okay. We got a lot going.
I know.
What the parents are saying is that this is the third death in 6 to 8 weeks.
I cannot. This is when I'm like, this is a movie. This is a bad, dark, black comedy. It's Heathers, where people just keep dying.
And the parents are like,
things were happening way too quickly, and that's another one?
Kids actually were thinking, oh man, am I next? We'd never seen something like this before.
It felt like the school and this group couldn't catch a break. The entire atmosphere was just
impossible.
Rough.
People are wondering who is going to be next.
Yes.
That stopped me in my tracks.
It's a fucking horror movie.
And the former principal is like, oh, tell me about it. I'm the one who had to keep making the announcements and talking to the counselors. Poor me.
Oh, my God.
And so Patty and Mike, Brittany's parents, say, oh, yeah, the former principal came to the student. And at that point, they allowed it. They don't know anything. They're grieving.
Right.
They're not thinking about, they're not making that connection yet.
Yes.
And so he had to leave early, though. Do you want to know why?
To go perform another hypnosis session.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
It's just crazy.
And Patty says that was my last conversation with him. And I'm like, hey, asshole, can we slow down on the hypnosis? Do you have to announce it to Brittany's parents?
I know.
At the fucking funeral?
I know.
Of this girl, just about to start her life? But then, even worse, this guy, the fucking lack of boundaries and the self-involved bullshit.
I know, because he calls one of the families.
He calls Brittany's brother.
Right. He doesn't call the parents. He calls Brittany's brother to let him know that there's going to be an article coming out about connecting his work with hypnosis with these kids with their deaths.
So don't answer the phone, don't answer the door, don't talk to the press.
And no, I would not like to talk to your parents. I'd like you to relay the message.
And also, Jesus, this guy is way too familiar with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's all way too casual.
I know.
You're calling Brittany's brother?
I've talked about this before. We had a teacher like this in my high school. And as far as I know, nothing bad ever happened. But this teacher was way, way too close with the kids.
It's too much.
It was like the kids of all years would hang out in his room before and after school. He had an open door policy. It was just, I remember being freaked out by it.
Yeah, it's weird. And this guy, the principal, is lying in the article. So in the article, he says he never hypnotized Brittany, which he 100% did. But he
yes.
called the family, Brittany's
yes.
brother, to warn them about the article and then lies in the article. And in the deposition, he's like, I totally lied in that article.
Yes.
And when asked why, he was like, I was stressed out.
I mean, right. That's the great thing about being under oath, I guess, right?
I guess. But here's where we learn something
yes.
pretty shocking.
And this is big.
We learn how Wesley and Brittany were found.
Yes. These were the two that died by suicide.
They were kneeling. They were kneeling all the way forward. And they, this is so hard, I'm sorry. And they strangled themselves. It's the same position from the sessions. The one
yes.
they were in for minutes on end that they didn't remember that they were in.
Yes.
It's that, sometimes whole sessions, sometimes 10, 15 minutes.
And it makes you wonder, did they get themselves into a state of hypnosis in which they knew that they would not have any control over their bodies?
Right. Because the autopsy shows that there wasn't a struggle.
A person, when they put something around their neck, their knee-jerk reaction is to, at the last minute, grab it and it would bruise on the neck. That wasn't there.
They're saying, if you were to hang yourself by a rope from, a door jam, that, they often will find these people with bruising around their neck because at the last minute, instinctively, you're trying to rip the rope away from your neck and that causes bruising. These kids did not have that. They did not struggle.
And this is also when Brittany's dad, Mike, gets up and leaves the room.
Yes.
And good. I mean, I really mean that. Take your space, Mike.
Yes.
But, we're told that they didn't fight it. And that is just not natural. Like, scientifically, it's just not a natural
and
way
so
to be.
It, what it says to me is that these kids knew they could get themselves into a state of hypnosis where they would not struggle. Right. They would not have control over their bodies, a state that they learned from Principal Kenny.
So while I'm not saying that he introduced this idea to them,
yeah,
and then they decided, oh, well, my teacher told me to do this. No, but I think he helped them get to a place, perhaps.
We're going to learn in episode 3, which you'll all hear next week, or you can get right now on the Patreon, that hypnosis, and we learned this from a real hypnotherapist, hypnosis cannot make you do something to yourself that you did not want to do.
Right.
But it can take one of your darker demons that maybe you do want to harm yourself and make that a bigger thought. Mm-hmm. That, in my mind, is what happened here.
Yes.
He took the thought of suicide to them became real through hypnosis, and they realized that they could do it in a way where they would not have control over their own bodies to stop themselves.
And heard, but in the next episode, we're going to get into the legal aspect of this.
Yes.
Because what does that mean on paper?
Yes, 100%.
And can he, quote, get away with
this? Bottom line, if this man was not in these kids' lives, they would still be alive today, in my opinion.
I agree. I think it's wildly inappropriate no matter what happened.
Yes. Oh my God, girl. All right, we did episodes 1 and 2 of Look Into My Eyes. Mm-hmm. So our second episode covering episodes 3 and 4 is available right now ad-free on the Patreon. If you want to go hear the rest of the ranting and raving, you can hear it right now. Otherwise, it will be our regular episode on the regular feed next week.
That's right.
So we have no trailer for you to listen to.
No, but we might have, I don't know if there is a trailer, if they have like next time on.
Uh-huh.
I know they have a previously on.
Yeah, all
so
right.
So I guess we'll
Tom,
see.
Give them the next time on. All right, fam, we love you. Get out of here.
We love you.
All right, bye.
Wesley died April the 8th, and then Brittany died in May. And they both were down kneeling and leaned forward and hung themselves.
Our principal was hypnotizing kids, and then 3 kids died.
And very coincidentally, they all were hypnotized by George Kenny.
When all this happened, there was numerous kids saying they'll never come back to school until Dr. Kenny is gone. It went fast, quick.
I guess it's easy to say that he did something wrong if you don't know him.
There were things going on that should have either been stopped or brought to someone's attention.
You know, we can go back and forth whether or not hypnosis had anything to do with it, because I know a lot of people wanted to blame Dr. Kenny, but I also know a lot of people had his back on it. There was a lot of people that didn't blame him.
There was conversation going on behind the scenes at the district attorney's office about pressing charges.